Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing more STEMI money, NFT investing, and booking summer travel now.
So you're calling it STEMI money. Are you the only one doing this?
Everybody's calling it
STEMI
money.
STEMIs. Where are my STEMIs at?
Give me my STEMI. Where are my STEMI money?
So I think I don't like it because it makes me think of stymie, which is like the opposite of what a stimulus check, what you would want it to do, right? like you want it to stimulate the economy. You want it to grow things. And instead, it makes me think of stymie, which is like, I mean, that means to like hold something back, right? Like to keep something from growing. So I feel like that word kind of has some cognitive dissonance going on for it.
No, the STEMI money is going to do the absolute opposite of stymieing growth. It's going to...
Well, we'll see. Because, I mean, I guess we'll get into it a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But that's the big question that that folks are wondering. But we're not necessarily going to dive into the politics of it. But dude, real quick, I wanted to ask you, you know, we often talk about curb alerts, things we find on the side of the road. Would you wear a pair of shoes that you saw on the side of the road for you yourself?
Ooh.
And the reason I ask this is because I know you've picked up a pair of cleats before for your daughter.
Yep.
But I don't know if your daughter has ever worn those shoes. Because
she has.
She has?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Because
they're soccer
they were
cleats.
Super into it right when we first got them. We don't really. They don't actually play soccer in a league or anything like
they
that.
Just, like,
so
slide the shoes on and run around. They're like, I'm running so fast.
We play in the front yard. You know, yeah. Kick the ball around, and so they put them on then.
Okay. So the reason I ask is because check it out.
Oh, you got some new Nikes. Those look exactly like your old ones.
I found these jokers on the side of the road, dude. I was riding my bike and I saw a Nike box and I was like, let's take a look. Take a little look-see.
It was your size too?
And it was my size. And yeah. So, I mean, I've worn these for 2 weeks now and you have not noticed because they look exactly like my old ones. They're like an updated version of my old shoe, but they just look a lot cleaner, a lot nicer. They're not all ripped up or anything like that. But I felt a little bit weird because I was just like, this is one step more personal than, say, finding a dehumidifier, you know, on the side of the road, or, you know, I don't know, like a box fan, something like that. Like, this is something that I've got on my body,
right?
You know,
like okay, so would you go a step further? Would you wear underwear that you found on the side
of
the road?
Dude, shut up.
That's too far?
Of course not. But shoes.
At least there's a layer between you and the shoes, you know?
Yeah, I wear
but
socks.
But they look really nice. They look clean.
And they seem very clean. I mean, it was from a neighbor. It's not somebody I know, but, like, I ride by their house and I'll wave. So they seem like friendly folks, you know, but I guess that doesn't necessarily mean they're hygienic, you know? But I felt a little bit weird about it. But in the end, I realized I don't really care. I wear socks, and I could have kind of hit it with some Lysol spray. And I didn't even do that because I had enough faith in my neighbor.
One thing people do have to be careful about when it is there's something free on the curb. One time, a friend, she brought home a chair and it had bed bugs in it.
Yeah,
it was a nice chair. It looked good, but you got to be careful because and bed bugs are the worst. Like the bed bug infestation is really, really hard to get rid of.
Yeah, kind of sounds like if your house gets lice,
right?
You know, because like when you get lice, you have to like go through all these steps.
But worse, I think.
But
it's
bed
worse.
Bugs, because it's not like just your own head that you have to kind of use special shampoo on. You got to get like your whole house looked at. We've never had to deal with bed bugs, but I'm definitely going to make sure to peek in the little corners if I ever pick up a nice little chair on the side of the road.
I pray you never have to deal with them because her experience was awful. So
I bet.
All right, well, it's Friday flight time, Matt, but before we get into the stories that we found interesting this week that pertain to people's personal finances, really quickly, we wanted to announce that we're doing another book giveaway.
Yeah.
It's time to raid How to Money's bookshelf. We're giving away a bunch of books this week. All you have to do is head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, leave us a solid rating and review, and then email us at howtomoneypod@gmail.com. Do that before Wednesday, March 17th at noon Eastern time, and you'll be entered into this book giveaway where we'll be sending a bunch of books to four lucky listeners from people that we've had on the show before. And these don't have to be new reviews either, by the way. I hate that when a company I love is like, only for new users. And I'm like, well, what about me?
I've been first-time customers only.
Yeah, I've been loyal for a long time. So
we want to reward loyalty for sure.
Exactly. So if you can just take a screenshot of your old review and send us an email, you're welcome to
enter. Even just sending us your screen name, because, I mean, for the most part, we trust you. And we'll go back and check when when we do the random drawing or and whatnot. But we just want to make sure that we're reaching out to those folks who have been around for a while, not just those new listeners out there who are leaving their review for the first time. And by the way, these are books that Joel himself has held and like poured over the pages. And so, you know, you're owning a piece of history.
Basically, they're used books is what Matt's saying.
Well, okay, some of them are ones that we've read, but some of them are extra copies that we have, and they literally have never been cracked, cracked open. So some of these are actually brand new as well. Will you write a little note in there on the front cover as well?
I didn't write the book. I don't think so. But they're really, like, honestly, these have been some great guests. They've been brought some really incredible knowledge, and the books pack even more. Some of the books that we're going to be sending out are The Minimalist Home by Joshua Becker. That was a fun episode when we talked with him. Blue Collar Cash by Ken Rusk. Money Hacks by Lisa Rowan. Just so much good financial information in some of these books, and we're happy to send them to listeners who can grab that information and keep running with it. So,
Dude, what I loved about the last book you mentioned, so Money Hacks, that was Lisa Rowan's book, right? Is that each of her little hacks are really short. And so, like, I love the idea of having like a toilet read. And so, I mean, let's be honest, most folks, they sit down, they pull out their phone and they just burn a bunch of time. What if instead you just pulled out Money Hacks and had some financial knowledge dropped on you? That's what we're all about. And hopefully you can be the lucky winner and have that book yourself.
That's right. We got 12 total books we're going to send out. So don't forget to enter howtomoneypod@gmail.com and send us that email by March 17th at noon.
That's right. All right, let's keep moving along, Joel. Let's get to the news. And the big news of the week is the new COVID relief bill. It passed the Senate at the end of last week, and the House passed the legislation on Tuesday. It has now been signed into law by President Biden. And this massive spending bill means that many of you out there are getting another stimulus payment from the government. And we'll do our best to dissect some of the most important parts of this bill right now. And of course, Joel, like you mentioned, the stimmies, not the stymies. They are top of mind for most folks. And so if you are single and you have an adjusted gross income of $75,000 or less, or if you are married filing jointly and have an AGI of $150,000 or less, you are going to be getting checks or a deposit for $1,400 for each person. And so, and that applies too for kids as well. So for instance, a family of four that qualifies is going to get $5,600. That money is likely to start hitting accounts by the end of the month. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. And Matt, one of the most important things to talk about when it comes to this stimulus money and who qualifies is, you know, you just mentioned the AGI, but the IRS is going to look at your most recent tax return to determine whether or not you qualify for this stimulus money. And so I think it's really important to note that if your income, let's say, dropped off a cliff last year, then
happened to a lot of people.
Yeah, you should be looking to file your return as quickly as possible. If that's now going to allow you to qualify for this stimulus money, where you might not have qualified otherwise, based on your tax return from 2019. Basically, you might be eligible, but you want to make sure that your tax return, your most recent tax return, reflects that eligibility so that the stimulus money gets into your hands as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and it's even more important to make sure that they have the updated information, say, if you had a kid last year, right? Like maybe you've got one of those pandemic babies. You want to make sure that you're not only getting the stimulus money for your child, but also the bill included a child tax credit that increased from $2,000 up to $3,000 per eligible child. And it's actually going to be $3,600 for kids that are five and under. And so the same eligibility requirements that are being used for the stimulus payments apply here as well. So $75,000 or less if you're single, $150,000 or less if you're married. And also not surprising is that the federal unemployment benefits were included in the bill. And so they're going to remain at $300 per week. They're not going to increase, but they were extended for another 25 weeks until September 6th. And, we've talked on the show before about how those unemployment benefits, they're taxable. You need to make sure to keep an eye out for that. Hopefully a lot of folks opted to have some of that money withheld. But if you didn't, we've talked about how you need to make sure that you have that money set aside because you're going to have to pay taxes on that. Well, a provision that was also in the bill made it so that the first $10,200 of your 2020 unemployment is going to be tax-free. So that's going to be some great news for folks who have been receiving some of those unemployment benefits.
Yeah, totally. Another interesting tidbit that was in this bill, and by the way, there's a lot in this bill, and there's a lot that we're not going to cover. We're going to cover all the stuff that pertains most closely to your personal finances.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about the, you know, $25 billion that was given to restaurants, although that's great.
Which is good. Yeah.
It was great. But another interesting piece of this legislation is that if you've been laid off, starting April 1st, the government will pay 100% of your COBRA. And COBRA, Matt, can get crazy expensive, as anybody who's been laid off knows.
Yeah.
Often thousands of dollars, because, you know, you were used to paying, you know, maybe a few hundred, $400 or $500 a month for your health care because your employer was subsidizing it. And now you're on the hook for typically 102% of what your employer was paying towards your health care. It's important to note, though, that you won't be eligible for this free coverage if you left your job voluntarily or if you qualify for a new employer-based plan before September 30th. Also, there's money in this bill to increase subsidies for many getting health care under the ACA. The premiums were sky high for many folks looking to get coverage on the exchange, and this new bill is, at least for the next 2 years, going to lower the cost for a whole lot more people than were previously eligible for subsidies for healthcare.
Yeah, and we'll make sure to link to some stories in our show notes where you can find all the details of the bill if there are some other aspects of it that you might be curious about. But we're going to move on. Let's talk about travel. We got an email from our friend Scott over at Scott's Cheap Flights this week, and he had some great advice that we really wanted to relay on the show today. If you are thinking that you might be up for some travel this summer, booking before the end of March is going to give you some really important flexibility. And that's because during the pandemic, the airlines did away with change fees on all flights. But some of those changes weren't permanent. They're going to sunset, including changing a basic economy fare. And so those are the cheapest flights that you can find. So, of course, we, you know, How to Money listeners are likely going to want those tickets.
Yeah,
right?
Of course we do. We want the basic economy, man. That's how I like to fly.
Business class. Shah.
Even my 6'6 self in the basic economy gets a little cramped. But you know what? I'm willing to put up with the pain to save the money. And also, too, change fees before the pandemic could run into the hundreds of dollars. Like, they were
it's
not cheap.
Yeah, it's expensive.
And plus, you'd have to pay the difference in airfare often if the price was more expensive. It was a major moneymaker for the airlines and a big source of frustration for travelers. So if you're interested, get tentative, maybe, about summer travel. Book before March is over so you'll still have access to be able to change that flight without paying a fee. Plus, summer flights are still pretty cheap right now. You'll still have to pay the fare difference if the fare is higher on the flight you're wanting to switch to if you do decide once you book that you're going to need to go another time. But the best change fee protections are essentially expiring at the end of this month, and expect prices to rise too. So now is actually probably the perfect time to start booking air travel.
That is right. And we also wanted to talk about not just e-bikes, but like electric cars, basically the rise of e-everything we feel like is essentially upon us, man. The New York Times reported recently that e-bike sales were up over 150% last year. I mean, regular bikes soared too, but just not nearly to the extent of electric bikes. But what's interesting is that we're starting to see some infrastructure changes, right? I know near us, we've got this amazing protected bike lanes with these massive planters where we're going to be protected from, you know, from cars driving by. One of my daughters and I, we rode on that yesterday. But it's not just bike infrastructure as well, man. Things are changing when it comes to electric vehicles. The city of Petaluma in California, they banned the building of any new gas stations from here on out recently, which is fascinating. You know, it's interesting to see kind of the changes that are taking place within the world we live in.
Yeah, the only thing I knew about Petaluma before this was that that's where Lagunitas is.
That's right.
And they make good beer.
They make really good beer. But many of the major automakers are going to stop producing gas vehicles altogether as well by 2035. Volvo, they plan to get there by 2030. And so it's kind of interesting. You know, we wanted to mention that because it's crazy how quickly it seems that the electrification shift is happening. And we're not totally sure of the full ramifications of that and how that pertains to our personal finances, but we're definitely going to keep an eye on that for sure.
Yeah, and we mentioned a couple weeks ago the potential for an e-bike tax credit. We're keeping our eyes on that. If that happens, I mean, e-bike sales are going to soar even more. So also too, MIT recently released some numbers on electric vehicle affordability. The lower cost of maintenance and charging being cheaper than gas, especially as gas prices are rising, makes many electric vehicle models a better buy, even with a higher initial price tag. But this doesn't mean that everything is getting more affordable on that front. Porsche just released a pair of ridiculously overpriced e-bikes, one that costs over $10,000. Matt, I'm guessing you're not in the market for that anytime soon?
I think your wife picked one of those up.
Oh, dang it. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Hopefully I can still return it. But just important to note that make sure you're spending your dollars wisely. There are some really great low-cost e-bike makers out there. Rad Power Bikes is one. Propella is another. And Electric LECTRIC is another one, and you can get great e-bikes in the $1,000 range. You know, even if that tax credit doesn't come to fruition, you can still get an e-bike pretty cheap, and they are a game changer for, you know, how you can get around town. And, you know, our family was able to even ditch a car by having, anywhere, you know, an e-bike where we can toss the kids on the back.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, there are more affordable electric bikes out there as well. Like, you can hop on Amazon and there are tons of, I mean, electric bikes, like in the starting at like $500. You can even get them under that $1,000 mark. However, you may not always want to go for the cheapest bike out there. Like, yeah, that might be an instance of you, you know, going cheap and, well, you know, while attempting to be frugal, and then you've got an electric bike that maybe only lasts a year or so before it kind of craps out on you. So
yep. Yeah, you definitely might want to go with somebody that has been well reviewed. And Matt, I think we mentioned this before, but there's a website and a YouTube channel, electricbikereview.com. And that guy, Court, he does amazing reviews of electric bikes. So find one that's got good reviews, especially by an independent reviewer like him. You know, don't just go with the cheapest one on Amazon.
It's like, oh, this one has like a few thousand positive reviews. It's like, and we've talked about this on the show before too, but like, how many of those reviews are fake? You know, like,
probably a
Amazon's
lot.
Trying to crack down, but it's difficult when you've got all these manufacturers shipping over really cheaply made electric bikes, you know, from other countries. So it's definitely something to keep an eye out for. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, but after the break, we're gonna dive into NFTs, non-fungible tokens. You've seen it in the news, but what does it mean for you? Is that something that you should get involved with? And so we'll get to that right after this.
All right, we're back, and this is the Friday Flight. We're talking all the news and how it pertains to your personal finances, and there's been a lot of news this week, Matt, that we got to cover. And you know, now we're going to talk about NFTs, and this falls under our ludicrous headline of the week. There was a Verge headline that read, "The brands are at it again. Taco Bell is hopping on the NFT train." The sub headline was, "Why buy real tacos when you could buy a GIF of a taco?" Is it GIF or GIF? I never know.
Oh, dude, it's GIF. Every single time, GIF, GIF,
okay,
GIF.
I hear some people say it's GIF, and I'm like, that's peanut butter to me.
But. Yeah, GIF, like, those people can just move to Canada. Like, it's not GIF, it's GIF.
All right, well,
100%.
Let's talk about NFTs. I mean, of course, you know, being fully honest, the NFT thing is getting a little out of control. It seems like when fast food chains list 30 taco GIFs and they sell out in 25 minutes, you've likely seen a lot in the press this week too about NFTs, non-fungible tokens. So Matt and I want to take a second to briefly explain what they are and kind of like what your response should be as you're seeing the proliferation of NFTs basically all over the place. Essentially, NFTs guarantee the ownership of a digital asset using blockchain technology. Once you purchase an NFT, say you buy one of those sweet Taco Bell gifts, not high on my list, but that exchange lives on the blockchain forever. It's viewable to everyone, and there's no central authority who has control over that information. So that essentially certifies your ownership.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the benefits of cryptocurrencies as well. Like, people who are huge proponents of it, like, they like the fact that it's decentralized. They like that there's transparency that is secure, right? But when it comes to these NFTs, I think like one of the simplest ways to maybe think about them is as like digital trading cards. That's a big reason why NFTs have taken off in the sports industry. Rob Gronkowski, he's selling NFTs of his top Super Bowl moments. You can buy those starting yesterday at, yes, GronkNFT.com.
I got a bookmark now. So.
Do you?
No.
Yeah. They are pretty cool cards. I was looking at them. You know, they got the graphics on there and stuff like that. But, you know, the NFTs, like, they're not just static cards either, you know, like, they're not just pictures. Like, sometimes they're GIFs of tacos, like we're talking about here, or like video highlights as well. The NBA's Top Shots has been really popular, and they're basically videos of these great plays in NBA history. They've generated over $230 million in gross sales, and that was even just of a couple weeks ago. It's probably like double that at this point.
Yeah, probably, because it's a fast-moving movement to buy these NFTs and invest in that way. And you can basically turn any digital asset into an NFT. Jack Dorsey has his first tweet up for bids, and it's currently sitting north of $2.5 million. The winner of the auction for Dorsey's tweet will receive a digital certificate of the tweet. It's unique because it's been signed and verified by the creator. Yet the tweet still lives on the internet where anybody can see it at any time. NFTs are, they're an interesting space, and it's something that we're going to keep an eye on too. But investing in these tokens is highly speculative right now. The chances that your Nyan Cat NFT will increase in value, you might purchase that thing. I think it sold for like $600K. And, you know, a couple months from now, it might be worth $1 million. Who knows? But we're wading into new territory here. And so, yeah, it does behoove any of our listeners who are like fascinated by the space, you know, maybe stay fascinated, but maybe don't put your money there.
Yes. Know that it is highly speculative at this point. It almost seems like there's kind of like a larger problem just around how people are viewing investments these days, because, you know, like outside of the digital realm, like it seems that these like quote unquote investments are everywhere, you know, in real life, like everything from like Yeezys and other limited sneakers to just original, like, you know, OG cardboard sports cards, right? Like trading cards, like those are really hot right now. It kind of like takes me back to my childhood. Need to go back and kind of look at some of those complete sets that I got back in 1988 and 89 and 91.
See how much money I'm sitting on.
Seriously.
From those old school cards.
I saw a Michael Jordan rookie card recently sold for $800,000. Mickey Mantle baseball card, I think, broke the all-time record, selling for like over $5 million, dude. So crazy. But with blockchain, technology has changed the game. Digital cards are now hitting the big time, and it seems like it's something that is becoming even more accessible to people. You don't even have to go to the store and buy a pack of cards. It's something that you can just, you know, do on your phone, which is crazy.
Yeah, and Matt and I, it's not really our jam to knock what other people spend their money on. Like, we all kind of have our craft beer equivalent. We have the things that we enjoy, you know, sinking some of our funds in while we're investing and saving for the future. But it's important, I think, to look back on similar instances of investment mania, and we can see what the likely outcome will be for a lot of these quote-unquote investments. Tulip mania in the 1600s, you know, in Amsterdam, where the price of tulips drove up quickly and then fell just as quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Beanie Babies in the 90s. That was a similar instance where people were willing to pay hundreds and then thousands of dollars for certain specific Beanie Babies. And
while they waited in long lines.
Right, yeah. Right, oh exactly. Yeah. And then the price crashed shortly thereafter, and people had spent tons of money on something that was cuddly but worthless, you know? And it's also, too, okay to like a pair of sneakers or to buy basketball cards, even digital ones, but make sure that you're buying any NFT mainly because it's something you love or because you want to support that athlete or artist. If you want that Gronkowski Super Bowl moment NFT, that's fine. And to own that, if you have the money, isn't a problem in our book. But if you're buying it thinking that it's going to make you rich because it's going to massively increase in value, that's where you're going to want to tread lightly.
Yeah, you know, like, we like this general idea of NFTs, right? You know, like the concept of digital ownership of something that could previously like just be copied or passed off as the original. Like, that's a legit concept. You know, it's a great idea. It'll just be interesting to see where non-fungible tokens takes us. You know, but like you said, Joel, the scary part is when individuals are throwing money at quote-unquote investments, expecting them to grow quickly, hoping to get rich quick, when, you know, we just have no idea where things are going to end up. So right now, what we'd recommend is to only put money towards NFTs that you are willing to lose.
Yeah, and I'm sure this isn't going to be the last time we talk about NFTs.
Doubt it.
It's an interesting space.
Yep.
But Matt, let's move on. And there was some good news in the world of credit reporting this week. You can now check your credit reports every week for free through April of next year.
Of next year.
Yeah, right. which is great news for credit nerds. That was supposed to sunset April of this year. It's been extended another year. And we would love to see this become the norm for people to be able to check their credit report as often as they like without paying any money. The inability of consumers to have access to the credit dossier that private companies are building on us is hopefully becoming a thing of the past. But at least for now, it's far easier to stay on top of what's in your credit report. Take advantage of that. You know, check your credit reports. I mean, if you're doing it every single week, like, you're probably maybe a little obsessed, right? Unless you're actually applying for a mortgage or a refinance or something like that, and you need to stay on top of it consistently. But for the most part, being able to check that every week at least is a good thing.
Yeah, actually, the free weekly check came in handy for me recently because, I started receiving texts from a bank that I did not open an account with. And initially, I thought, okay, it's, you know, somebody got the wrong number. But I kept getting these texts, and so it kind of made me freak out a little bit. And I thought, man, I need to make sure that there's not a fraudulent account that had been opened up in my name. Logged in there, got all three reports. I checked it. Nothing but good news there. So, yeah, and I would have been hesitant, I guess, if all three weren't free every week for me to go in there and check all three. I would have maybe gone into one. I would have.
Because before we were only allowed it once a year, which is just ridiculous.
I would have definitely pumped the brakes, but it was nice to be able to go in there, get all three, and to be able to know that there wasn't anything fishy going on.
Yeah. Well, while we're talking about credit reports, Matt, let's talk about credit cards, too. We talked before on the show about the lesser-known credit card benefits that are out there. Features like free checked luggage, free roadside assistance, insurance on your cell phone. But it turns out that more and more of these benefits are being discontinued. So that was an episode we released, I don't know, like 2.5 years ago, Matt. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you a lot of that information is now factually incorrect because credit cards have been changing the way they do business. And it started a few years back with Discover. and more card issuers started following suit. The most recent card to drop some of those perks, my beloved Fidelity Rewards Visa card.
Oh.
I know. Beginning April 1st, the collision damage waiver and extended warranty protection are no longer going to be benefits they offer. It's just a reminder to, you know, pay attention to the notices that are sent to you in the mail from your credit card company and change your spending accordingly, right? I'm going to use another credit card now to book a rental car. No longer will I be using my Fidelity Rewards Visa for that. Although, still a great card. I'm just not going to use it for that specific purpose anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's about especially, you know, the fact that a lot of cards aren't offering the CDW, right? That collision damage waiver, which is, you know, it's essentially that free rental car insurance, you know, like that was a great benefit. But, you know, like you mentioned, more cards are offering different benefits, things like that complimentary cell phone insurance. So like the way that works, you know, when you pay your monthly cell phone bill with a card that offers this benefit, the coverage they offer will oftentimes cover most forms of damage and theft to your phone. You will have to pay a small deductible, maybe around $25 or $50, but then that will cover you anywhere from $600 to $1,600. But that being said, you know, maybe try to avoid buying the $1,600 phone to begin with. I don't know if that's like inlaid with gold, like that's just a crazy expensive phone. They do make some really nice ones that cost a lot less than that. But we'll make sure to link to a couple of the cards in our show notes that do offer some of that nice cell phone coverage protection.
Yeah, I can't imagine any of our listeners buying a $1,600 phone.
I guess, I mean, the newer, nicer iPhones are like $1,200.
Yeah.
Which is, you're getting kind of close with.
That's pretty expensive. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode. For folks that want the show notes and they want to see the links from everything we mentioned today, well, those are going to be up on our website at howtomoney.com. Don't forget to enter the Radar Bookshelf giveaway. All you got to do is send that screenshot of your review or your username over to us at howtomoneypod@gmail.com and do so by next Wednesday afternoon. We'll announce the winners on next Friday's show.
That's right. And we hope everyone has a great weekend. We will see you back here on Monday. We've got a great interview lined up. You're going to hear from Sean Mullaney. We're going to dive into taxes. And so if that's something you haven't taken care of yet, this is going to be a great episode for you. And even if you have filed your taxes, this is going to be a really important one for everyone out there. So Joel, that's going to be it for this episode, man. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.